Well, this evening we're picking up again in our teaching on understanding grace. Last week we got talking into the teaching on the subject of saving grace. I did just a little introduction thing. There's about the three types of grace that there is, which is saving grace, which is the power of God flowing into your life to justify and save you. And also standing grace, which is God's power flowing into your life so you can stand victoriously. Also, there's the serving grace, and that's the power of God in your life so you can serve God with His ability. So that we're looking into the first one in saving grace. We went through a number of scriptures last week, but we're going to continue. We're not going to go back through them, but we looked in the fact of God initiating salvation. Man didn't. If man initiated grace, then it wasn't grace at all. God's the one who initiated grace, and so we need to look at in the light of that. God, we found out God, we didn't go find God. God looked for us. Jesus said Himself that no man comes to the Son except the Father draw him. So we need to understand that, especially for ourselves. We need to know, and that's one thing, is praying for people that God would draw them. Sometimes, you know, people get upset, you know, they, you know, maybe witness to people or stuff. People don't respond. Well, you know, and his number one is God draws them, you don't. And get yourself out of that, the fact, our job is to preach the word. It's like, you know, I learned that as, I'm a teacher, whether or not people accept it, that's not up to me. That's, this is one of the things I think a lot of Christians have a very hard time. Over the years, I've dealing with people. People get offended quickly and they get hurt. Plus, well, you know, they talk to people, tell people, well, they don't respond to them, and people get all hurt about that. And we as Christians, we have to learn to get over ourselves. Our job is to preach the word. We tell people, we take the truth to people, but it's not your job to see that they receive it. And you tell people and they don't accept it, you know, just go on. I mean, it's not, you shouldn't sit around and, you know, we take in our society today, one of the things we have even with people, and we keep, one of the reasons our educational system doesn't work is because we keep trying to make people get educated. We spend all of our time chasing the person who's not listening. And all of our effort and money in the school systems go for that. For the person that doesn't, that's what they spend most of their time in things and that stuff. The church world does the same thing. They're trying to reach the person who don't really care. And they just keep chasing them and chasing them. And the person who wants to hear don't get to hear because they're not ministering to them. And I learned a long time ago as a prophecy, I was because of dealing with that. I was in a church, young Christian. I was teaching a Sunday school class in a church, and in that Sunday school class, I'll tell you, it was like pulling teeth, man. There's people who have been Christians for years and had their religious beliefs, but really didn't respond to the word. You could give them the word. Well, they'd say it was true, but that's not what we believe in. And so you would teach, and I really had a hard time with it, dealing with that as teaching. And there was a gentleman, his name was Ivan Tate. Ivan Tate was a prophet. He was a guy out of Texas. He had come to the church, and he had was real accurate in speaking to people about things. And anyhow, he had ended up calling me out, talking to me. And one of the things that he said, I see you. He said, you're a teacher. He didn't know me from anybody. He said, you're a teacher. And he said, I see you. You take bread and you're handed out to people, and some people say it's too dry, it's too many seeds, it's too this, it's too that. And he said, they throw it back to you. He said, don't worry about them. You just take it and give it to the people you want it. Really, God spoke to me that night, and I realized, I teach people who want it. If a person don't want it, I don't chase them. You ever notice in Jesus' ministry, Jesus never chased people. Jesus never, if people turned away and didn't listen, he let them go. We have the exact opposite thing that we do today. We're always trying to fix the person that don't want fixed. We spend our time, and you know what? People who do that are hurt all the time and all the time going through all kinds of things, trying to fix the person that don't want fixed. And we need to be very careful about that, because the Lord told me one time about that. He said, you be very careful of the spiritual vampires. I thought it was a weird thing when he said that to me. Be very careful. And I thought, well, what on earth are the spiritual vampires? He said, the people that go out and live, do whatever they want to do. And he said, you go follow me. And he said, they want to come when they get in trouble. They want to suck the life out of you. And he said, you have nothing then to give to the person who wants. And that's what we do. We spend all of our time with the people who suck the life out of you. That's the nature of America. That's the nature. We need to be careful, because that spirit, it's not the spirit. You need to understand, you're yielding to demonic powers when you yield to that. Those demonic powers get you off course, and that turns ministry over to where you feel we have to be the saviors. We got to save it. We got to fix this thing with this people. We got to, because this is what love is. And what happens, people wear themselves out. I see this happen all the time with people. People just get worn out. They're worn out trying to do what can't be done. And they're trying to get God involved. And we need to understand, we want the grace of God, but the grace of God is not, we got to get this in our mind. You got to find out what God's grace is and what it does. God's grace ain't going to follow everything you want to do. You got to find out where God's going, and you use His grace is there to help you do His will, not your will. You need to get that in your face. Find out what God wants to do, and He will give you grace to do His will, not to do my will. When you find yourself, you're over here wearing out, and you're stressed and your stuff and things and stuff, because I know I went through those things. Because you wonder why, you know, thinking people, you know, why are people doing what they're doing and this and that, and after I found, it don't matter what they're doing. That isn't, because you get over there and doing that, and you end up chasing, and you wear yourself out. That's why so many people have burnout, all that kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you what, and I'll just say this. If you end up in burnout, it's because you're in sin. Because you're trying to be God instead of following God. It's like with ministers. I go to these ministers' conferences, and every once in a while you go to a ministers' conference somewhere, and they'll have teaching on ministers on burnout, but they never stop and tell them the reason you're in burnout is because you're not following God. You have your own idea of ministry, and you're trying to do this and you're trying to do that, and it burns you out. You know, you can't, you don't need grace if you can do it. Grace is about God working in you to do it. So, finding out what the will of God is, especially, you know, is getting over there, and ministry should never wear a person out. Should never wear a person out. I remember a big meeting. These ministers are getting up. In fact, Oral Roberts had the meeting. And Oral Roberts even got into it with it. They were standing up and talking about, oh boy, the difficulty, hardships of ministry, and blah, 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 they're going on. They went on and on with this thing, and they were talking about, oh, you know, that's how tough ministry is and that stuff. And so, Fred Price, I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. He's going home to be with Jesus. But Fred Price was in the audience, and Oral Roberts said, Fred, I believe God has something for you to say. and Fred Price got up, and he was real, real quiet at first. He didn't say anything. He got up, but he stood there. He said, well, he said, I've been listening to all this. Now, this place probably had about 2,000 ministers there. And he says, I've been listening to you guys talking about that. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. And you guys are just standing there talking about this terrible yoke you have. He said, it ain't Jesus. You could have heard a pin drop in the place. Because everybody was loving that bit of, oh boy, yes, we just have it so hard. Please pity me, pat me in the back, you know. You just don't know how hard my life is. And I always say, well, yes, we know how hard it is because we have to put up with you. But you try to make it hard on everybody else. But see, they do. People get over in that thing, and you start getting into that thinking. Everybody in life puts up with stuff. Everybody has it. Everybody does. But it's like, it's what you do about things determines, you know. People don't control. What people want does not control my life. That's not my job. My job is not to meet all your needs according to my riches and glory. That is not my job. See, now, and think about that. But you know what? Every one of you deal with the same thing, because there are people who always are trying to get you to meet their needs. They're always trying to do that. They always want somebody else to be their God. I don't want to trust. You take care of me. I have a problem. You look after it. They're doing that. It's within the carnal nature not to grow up. You know, pat me, burp me, do this. If things are hard, bail me out of it quick. I don't want any discomfort. Yet you find they cause much discomfort. All the time. Hallelujah. It's good preaching, folks. But if you don't learn it, we're living in a society today. People are burning out left and right. People are having a hard time out here in life, because they have bought all this thing with government. Now government's not taking care of them, and the government can't meet their need, can't keep them happy. And now the church is going to try to keep them happy. Good luck. They want a socialist church, and many churches are trying to do that. They're trying to give them a socialist church. Come here, we'll fix all your problems. Yeah, that's going to work. There's this, I was listening on the way up, Kenneth Hagin teaching, and he was talking about reaping what you sow. He said, people think that just because God forgives you, you don't reap what you sow. He said, you plant things, you're going to reap them. He said, God will forgive you, but he said, you plant things, you do wrong things, and you end up, you can end up in yourself a mess of trouble. Doesn't God don't forgive you, but you set this thing in motion. And people need to know that. That's why you think before you do stuff. And so we have the idea today that, you go to the church, they'll wave the magic wand. They'll get their Harry Potter wand out and that stuff, and they'll just say some things over there. Everything will be real cool again. It'll be all right. But it doesn't happen in life like that. So there's a responsibility. I'm glad my parents didn't have a magic wand. They used to just say, strap up, Ed. Ed, do this or do that. Ed, you're going to do that. I could always tell when my mom said, Edward, well, you're in trouble. Then you knew. All right. But salvation. And we're talking about being saved. Hallelujah. Thank God. We want to look at some more scriptures we're going to look at. We're looking at a lot of scripture through these things. In Romans, the 5th chapter, we're going to read concerning salvation. About God's plan of salvation for man. It is one of the things is, get familiar with scripture, because one of the things that people do is lots of times we want to reach other people is we don't tell them scriptures. Our big thing is we just want to get people to pray a prayer. And that's not number one on the list. He went from city to city. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, teaching in their synagogues. He was doing that. Faith comes by hearing the word, is getting people the word. This is one thing you have today. People don't want to take time to listen to that. And I learned when people don't want to take time to listen to the word, a person doesn't want to listen to the word. They come and ask me to pray it. If they don't want to listen to me, tell them what the word says. I won't pray for them. I'm not going to pray. You're wasting your time. Why pray for a person's healing that don't want to listen to you? Tell them the word on healing. Why waste your time? They ain't getting healed. See, we need to get that in people's consciousness, but we don't. The church, we're the quick fix. We're the spiritual McDonald's. You just drive up, you live your life, you run around, do anything you want, and you don't ever have to cook. You can just come up to the church McDonald's window and we'll always have a sandwich for you. It'll be an instant so you can get back out to your carnal life very quickly again. That's what it is. Well, in Romans the 5th chapter, verse 6, it says this, verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come. This is the whole thing of salvation, is telling people why, what is salvation about? People say, well, forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin for what purpose? That man's going to be on the wrath of God. See, we talk about God as love, but we don't ever tell people anymore about the wrath of God. That if a person doesn't get saved, they're going to face the wrath of God. God saved us from his wrath. Why? Sin was leading us to be judged by the wrath of God. Christ died and he took the judgment, and we receive him through faith. We receive him, and that removes from us the penalty of the judgment of God. In John 3 and verse 36 talks about that and says, concerning the person who doesn't believe, the wrath of God abides on him. The wrath of God. And so we need to understand. See, you and I were under the penalty. There was a judgment set on us. And the only way that that judgment could get removed from us is through faith in Christ. You needed to be born again. The old nature had to leave. See, you can't keep the same old nature and have salvation. So through Christ, that's why we're telling people, like, you know, Jesus, he didn't understand the fact that Nicodemus didn't understand when he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. He said, you're a teacher of Israel. You don't understand this. You don't understand the fact you need a spiritual change. You don't understand that. Well, see, today, 90% of the church world doesn't understand that. They don't understand the spiritual change. There's many people who got born again who used to understand that stuff, but they go to in churches who have gotten so carnal and they have such poor teaching that most of them don't even remember what it's about anymore. You know, people say, well, God loves everybody, so they're going to be all going to be saved. God loves everyone, so nothing bad is going to happen. Well, something bad is going to happen. But we were justified, and there's he's justified by his blood. You know, it's interesting, when we take communion, your justification, you were made righteous by the blood, but you were healed by his body. See, the Bible, it does, you go into the, Paul, in writing to the church in Corinth, when he wrote to them about people being judged, he said, they don't rightly divide the body concerning them. He said, there's many weak, sick, and die prematurely. They don't rightly divide the body. They don't understand what Jesus gave his body for your health. He gave his blood for your redemption. His body wasn't taken into the holies of holies. His blood was. His blood made the eternal redemption, has made you righteous. You've been justified or made righteous by the blood. You have been healed because from his body. His body was broken, so your body doesn't have to be. That's what it was. It's your body and your blood. And that's why Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, he said, Christians should be healed by the communion table. Is the communion table. So what we do today is the body of Christ, though, yeah, his body was broken. And people have the idea, the body was broken for my redemption. I said, no, it wasn't. It was broken for your healing. The blood, here we find out, the blood is what gave redemption. You have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. That's what you have. We got the new birth through the blood. The blood was taken into the holies of holies, but his body was broken, so yours don't have to be. So, you know, get those things in line and in right in our thinkings. We sort of have all this jumbled together. The Bible clarifies things, and so we want to walk in the light of that. Justification or righteousness is through the blood of Jesus. So Jesus did that for us. When you accepted Christ, the grace of God saved you and you became righteous. You were a sinner. You had done nothing good, you know, nothing. The only thing you ever did was operated in faith toward God, and the faith you operated in him didn't even come from, it wasn't you. He gave it to you through his word. So you couldn't have had faith. You couldn't even came to him. If God hadn't drawn you, you could have never even came to Jesus. This whole thing was done by grace. Salvation is completely without works. So when men try to add something to it, you have to do this, and yes, you got saved, but you got to do this thing. And if you got saved, well, yeah, but you have to do this one here. That's complete your salvation. We need to understand there's good works to do, but those good works can't ever save you. You're never saved by anything of your performance. Your performance can't save you. Hallelujah. I'm glad. Because it's through faith, and you maintain your faith in Christ Jesus. That's the security of your salvation. It isn't your works. It's not the security of your salvation. Your faith. So we want to continue to walk by faith. So we want to look at Ephesians in the second chapter. We're going to read there some important scriptures. We're going to start at verse 1 in Ephesians, the second chapter. And it says about this, starting in verse 1, it says, "And you he made alive, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." He said, "In which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." See, do you hear people say this to a sinner today? See, this is what you were. You know, Satan was your Lord. Oh, we don't tell people, oh, that's offensive to say to people. No, that's man's condition. Man without Christ, that's his condition. Every one of us were in that condition. That was our condition. See, the Apostle Paul would not be accepted in much of the church world today. He couldn't go preach there. He couldn't. Because people would be offended. Christians would be offended as crazy. No, I was always just so good. I was never really a bad person. The devil, I didn't yield to the devil. You didn't need to. You were his kid. You didn't yield to him. You belonged to him. Amen. See, we don't think of ourselves. See, today we don't teach people. You know, people are basically good. I wonder what planet that happened. I mean, just go to the news and see all the people that are generally good. People are not. And see, identify. We need to know. People need to know their need of salvation. They need to know who they belong to. Paul clarifies here. He said, according to the prince of the power. This is where we walked. Power of the air. The spirit who now works the sons of disobedience. Paul identifies the unbeliever as sons of disobedience. They're sons of disobedience toward God. They're not in faith toward God. These are sons of disobedience. He said, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Now I want to say to you this, because see, some people get in, you know, we classify and have things about, we talk about people in the flesh, and we look at people, you know, like if somebody out here and he's a drug addict, he's the really bad guy, you know, and he's this person over here who's really living in the flesh. And we have these other people that we classify as being nice who are lost and on their way to hell, going to be lost forever in the lake of fire if they don't get born again. And, yeah, but they're a pretty nice person. Paul didn't seem to think that about people who weren't saved. Because you know what? I found this out over the years. There's people that I'm going to tell you what, that are just people who people say are good people who are not good people at all. They have their things in life and their things about other people and stuff, and they live in the flesh and they follow what they like in the flesh. See, anybody who is living in a thing that is not following God, they're living in the flesh. I don't care if they seem pretty good. I don't care if they seem nice and people think they're nice. They're living in the flesh. They don't follow God. They're following their own will, their own pleasures. They are no better than the guy who is out here, what we consider, oh, he's just doing so terrible and bad. I'm sorry. The Bible does not show distinction. Hell's not going to be this compartmental place. The not so bad hell and the really bad person hell. And I don't know how people think about this stuff, but there's one thing about it. I have learned over the years, the Bible, you know, I was a scumbag. And I was a scumbag from this person because I was a child of the devil. No matter how good I tried to be, I was still a child of the devil. And is getting people past that. See, if we don't preach this, there's too many people. They, in their mind today, there's many people. There's a great majority of people think they're good people. Well, I go to work every day on a nice, you know, I do this and I do that. And I see their works. That's the flesh. They're trying to set their destiny in life by their works, where they're going to end up. That's a stench to God. And we have people today, you know, God loves everybody, so everybody's saved. That's a stench to God. That's man's idea of salvation. That's the flesh. The people that say that are children of disobedience. So, you know, get this in your mind. This is why it's reaching people. We think about reaching people. Lots of times we don't really see the need that it is of reaching people, you know. You're going to find this. If you go to these people, think they're nice, and you tell them the Bible says they aren't. you may not be Mr. or Mrs. Very Much Popularity, but nonetheless, they're going to need to hear. I believe Christians are going to be judged on this for not preaching the word or telling people the truth.
Amen.
We tell the truth in love because we want them saved. To not tell them is hatred.
Mm-hmm.
We hate them if we don't tell them. We don't care what happens to them. Because we just don't want anybody not liking us. I don't want anybody not like me. You know, they might think I'm a bad guy. You know, they'll talk about me maybe, you know. But we need to understand this. The need of salvation. Understand this because your devotion toward God is based on this fact of how valuable salvation is to you. Were you just a pretty good person? And, you know, God saved me, but I didn't do too bad. You know, I've told you guys before about how we had a person who years ago used to go to our church, and they're not on the earth anymore, but they had, well, you know, I didn't live a bad life. I really don't have a testimony. And I told him, I said, you're the worst of all, because I said, you don't realize your need for salvation. To whom much is forgiven, loves much. When people don't love God much, I know this. They don't have any idea what they've been forgiven from. I wasn't too bad. I wasn't. Oh, yes. You were a son of Satan. Yeah, I mean, think about that. Well, you know, I don't see salvation becomes real valuable. And this is why, as we as Christians, we need to read these things and keep ourselves reminded of what God has saved us from. We were destined to the wrath of God, just like Adolf Hitler. There isn't an Adolf Hitler hell and one for the nice guy. I'm sure when Jesus talked about the rich guy opening his eyes in hell, he probably didn't think of himself as being a bad guy. But he opened his eyes in hell. And the whole thing of it was, I'm sure he didn't expect to end up there. So, but we need to, is if you understand these scriptures, what they do for you is they fortify you of your great need. You always need to understand of what your great need of salvation was. See, when your salvation is really a valuable thing, you might think it'd be valuable to somebody else. But see, we lots of times don't, because we don't take it with great value. You know, I just did a sinner's prayer, and it's not understanding what's going on. our great need. We go on from there. It says, but God, he just wrote what our condition was. So we look at the fact, God looks at the condition of man in the earth, and here's God. God says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And this is by grace you have been saved. He made us alive. In our condition, what we were in, we were sons of Satan. Nobody was good. Nobody had a good deed. He didn't look down in the earth and say, boy, there's some nice people down there. God looked into the earth and said, there's nothing but scumbags in the earth, but I want to save them. There's nobody good down there. No, not one. I haven't found one good person in the earth, but I want to save them all. That's God. See, we have to have this salvation is an incredible thing. This is what the foundation of grace. If you don't understand this, you're going to have a hard time believing God for things, because you're going to always try to work to get God to do something for you. See, when you understand God saved you, that grace came to you, not by works. It was by faith. That faith is how you receive the grace of God. You don't receive it by doing something good. Doing something good. Many people, they want to come to God, but they think that I got to change my life. I got to do something. What they're trying to do is become a good person so God will accept them. That's all the time, because really, the church many times they're trying to people turn over a new leaf in life. You know, it's going to be sort of like the New Year's resolution type thing, you know. And that's what they're trying to do. And that is what with salvation. God looked into the earth and says, nobody down there had any value to be saved. And God didn't reach out to you because he said you had value. God had value and he wanted to put his value in you. Because you were a child of the devil. He turned you, wanted to turn you into a child of God. You had no value for it. There was anything that you did. He looked down and said, yeah, but that was pretty cool. They're pretty nice. I want to get that one over there. He didn't do that. He looked into the earth. He saw man's lowly condition and God said, I want to save them. I want to do that. He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. He said, in the ages to come. Now, that word ages there really means a periods of time. He said, in the ages to come. In other words, there's a final coming to things. There's going to be an end to things. And we go to the day the Bible talks about that ends with the new heaven and new earth. There's going to be a final judgment. God has many things that we have not been told about, or our scriptures don't even cover or talk about the future to come. You know, the Bible ends with the new heaven and new earth. So, you know, a few scriptures just says what it is, and that's it. But we find here that grace is about the things. In other words, the grace that we have today is only a small part. He says in this, the ages to come. In other words, the eons of time, like the word ages there is the word that uses, it comes from the word eon. Eons to come, he's going to show the ones who receive Christ, the ones who have been born again, he's going to show them these riches that he has planned. In other words, it ain't going to show up in one day. We ain't going to get to heaven and it's going to take him eons to show us the riches that he has planned. You know, this is one thing I've always thought of. What is it going to be? See, God's a creator. There's one that God has never stopped being a creator. Never. Man lives in this little limited world of thinking about God as creation, and we look at the stars and all this, and oh, isn't all this something? This is some great thing. But God never did stop. I mean, we live in what's called an expanding universe, and the more man is able to look out into space, he sees more. He don't see an end to anything. I was just reading an article about that scientist looking out into space. They asked him what they thought about out there, and they said, we can only come to the conclusion of what we see. There's no end to this thing. They said, that's all we can see. There's no end to this. So they say, what's out there? They said, we don't know, but there doesn't seem to be an end to this thing. But so every time we get to see further, there's more. Every time we look, there's more out there. And so it is absolutely phenomenal. Now that's just in the natural realm. I want you to think about it. All the natural realm that can be seen is in a fallen state. But there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. It's going to be a totally new creation. It's going to be a phenomenal thing. See, God's in the creating business. What is he going to create for us in this ages to come? See, that's why you want to invite people along. Say, tell them, say, hey, this is your condition, but God wants you to come over to end up with this. He wants you to have the prize he planned for you. He has grace that you can't see on this side that is so much greater. The grace over here is phenomenal that we see on this side. But it didn't take eons to show it. But it's going to take eons to show the grace that he has for us on the other side. I mean, how do you get your mind around that? It's like, wow, what is out there? What's God going to do? What's it? You know, this is new heaven and new earth, and everybody gets stuck on the earth thing. You need to understand, we're going to be beings just like Jesus. We're not going to be in time. We can travel from one place to the other just like that. There's no distance. You know, Kenneth Hagin said he had a hard time first understanding when the Lord taught him about dealing with demons, because God told him to deal with demons, the person, and he was many states away, and this person wasn't. He said, well, how can I deal with it? They're way over on it. And the Lord said, there's no distance in the spirit. See, we don't think like that. See, in the spirit, even in the natural, I mean, from one place that we look out and they say, well, you know, when we deal with theories of time and they'll say so many light years away something. So we think the time to travel in light years. In the spirit, to travel that, it's not light years. It's instant. You're from there to there. It doesn't, see, we're not thinking on the level that God, the spirit realm, operates at. See, get thinking like that. See, this is why as thinking of ourselves as being spirit beings is so important. Because see, people are always dealing with time and distance. They're dealing with trying to get God to heal them like he's 400,000 miles away and they're trying, you gotta lose that whole thing. There is no distance in the realm of the spirit. My healing's right there. I can touch it. See, get out of that thinking and out of that place because of the spirit realm. It's just something you gotta get a revelation on. You study these things and read them. When you sit down and read scriptures, just don't rush through the things. This is one thing, it's all right to sit down and just read the Bible through, but I'll tell you, it's sure better when you take the time to really read it. And see the words that it says. It's phenomenal. It's greater than, wow, it says, but it is his ages of coming, it says, he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace, and his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're his workmanship. That word, workmanship, there's actually the word would be translated artisan. We're something that's a creator. We're his artwork. Workmanship, somebody, you know, most people think about, they see that term workmanship and they think about a carpenter building something or doing something like that. That's not what God was doing. The new creation, a man being born again, is God's really, the church is God's masterpiece. If we can get the church to believe that, getting Christianity to believe that we are God's, you know, we were his art project that he decided to make before he ever created the world. And so, is when the Lord told me in the vision that I had, when he said to me, he said, man is my key to put sin away forever. Man is this key, man's this art, this thing, the project that God put together that was going to set everything straight again in God's creation. And he did it by grace. Without us being born again, we could never fulfill. We could never be that workmanship. We could never be that. You'd have to become a child of God to do that. People in the earth, people always say this, well, you know, we're all brothers and sisters. No, we're not. Every human in the earth, we could say, looks, it came from Adam. But the people who are born again, see, they're, we need to understand this. Well, you know, people talk like that in the church world. What they do is they minimize the church. They make the sinner who's on his way as hell is just as important as the church. So why should they join the church? Why should they be in? What's the point? They're as important in God's plan. No, they need to know that if they don't get born again, they will not be in God's plan. They can't be in. They're not going to be in it. They're not a child of God. When I look at the world, I was a child of Satan. People in the world without Christ are Satan's children. So they are. I mean, the Bible tells us that. Jesus told the Pharisees, came to him. He said, you guys don't get it. He said, you're children of Satan. He said, you don't. He told them. Well, I mean, to them, that there was, why would you ever say something like that to us? You don't ever tell a religious person they're a child of Satan. It's like, oh, God loves everybody, so no, there couldn't be any. God loved all Satan's kids that he sent Jesus to bring to his grace into the earth to turn them into his kids. That's the problem, because everybody was Satan's kids. And so, I'm in a different family. And so you have to decide whose family you were in. The church, many times, we live too much to the natural side. The natural is more important than the things and understanding the spiritual side. And it causes a great problem in the areas of faith because we're more natural thinking. And it's good if we can get away from that. Our old nature deserved wrath, but that's not what God gave. God gave grace. We deserved wrath. There was nothing that you and I could do to separate us from that judgment. That judgment, just think about it, you know, somebody's born into the earth. I mean, that's the destiny is to the wrath of God, the judgment. That judgment's set. I mean, if you sit down and think that, God in his great love and mercy sent his son, and what he did is he offered grace. He offered something that no one could pay for. No one could pay for it. No one had any ability. None of us had any ability to get us out from under the wrath of God. We had no ability. And the only thing that worked for us, God sent Jesus. And so the word is preached. Faith comes by hearing the word. So God gives us faith so we can escape the judgment that's against us. All by God. All by God. So this is why grace is such a phenomenal thing. It's absolutely incredible. Now, grace speaks of this. Number one is understand this about grace. Grace always speaks of what God has done, not what man has done. Grace always speaks of what God has already done. This is why the preaching of grace, this is what God has accomplished. This is what God has accomplished. This is God's accomplishment. Now, faith is the response to God's grace, which he has already done. Grace is already fulfilled. From the mind of God, from the foundation of the world, he sent Jesus. The idea of God is grace was sent. See, there's no time in the realm of the Spirit. God looked. The time came, you know, and we found before reading, in due time, God sent Christ. In the timetable in the earth, he sent Christ, which put grace in the earth. Grace was set in the earth. It's already established. If you actually think of it, everything God has planned to do for you has already been done by him. It's already set in motion. One of the things that, there's a person one time, I can't remember who it was, got caught up to heaven. And in their getting caught up to heaven, the Lord showed them there was this, it was like a warehouse thing. And see, what he did is God showed this person something. What he was trying to give him an idea. See, some things that people see isn't necessarily exactly, and this is why people need to be careful, because we go over to spirit. Many times God does things of illustrations. I've found this out over the years, of visions. God gives an illustration of something in the spirit, not exactly the way that it is, but shows it on a level that we can understand it, how it works here. And what he did to this person, he took them to a warehouse and he went inside, and anything from any body part to anything you could think of or imagine was in that place. And God said, I have already given all this to my people. He said, all they have to do is receive it. He said, I've already given it to them. Well, see, that's what not people are struggling trying to get. Why? They're not operating on grace. One of the things that people do, they get over into the works thing. They're trying to get something from God. We're never trying. Grace has already said what it has done. Grace has already said salvation belongs. No one could have received salvation if God hadn't given it already. It had to be given for you to believe to get it by faith. Healing, everything in God's level, God's plane is like that. Everything. Nothing has changed. There is nothing that we work for to have it given. Because, see, well, that's why when it says in Ephesians, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, that is a correct. So when that person, God showed them that, he was showing them every spiritual blessing in heavenly places was already given to man. So the fact that he showed that person that was no big deal. That's what the scripture says. He's already given it to you. It's already yours. What you and I do is receive that. That's grace. That's God's grace toward us, already given. We respond to grace by faith. That's how we do. We respond to it by, we believe that he has already given. That's what Mark 11:24 says about prayer. Whatever thing you desire when you pray, what do? You believe you receive it. Why? Because he's already given it. You couldn't believe you received it if he hasn't already given it. See, that's how grace functions. Grace functions on the base of what God has done, not what he's going to do. See, everybody's looking, well, God one day is going to do this. Hey, that will, it doesn't matter what God wants to do. It will never come into fruition until man receives it by faith. See, people are sitting around and waiting for a move of God. And you know what? I don't know if you folks remember what Ken Kasich said about the things. You know, he said, people get these, like a prophecy will say, you're just right at the door. You know, to entering in. And he said, you get another prophecy later on. It says the same thing. He said, if you don't make a move to go through the door, he said, you might be right at the door all your life, but never enter in. And you can get prophecies all you want, but you're right at the door. But if nobody ever goes in the door. See, and this is what people are doing. Now, God is telling there's something for you. There's something, and people have to receive the grace of God to enter. You're right there at the door. Well, you're going to have to go through it. And see, people are scared. This is why there's this big move of God that's going to come. And next year, this big move of God. And 20 years later, this big move of God that's going to come. And 20 years later after that, this big move of God that's going to come. There's no faith. It's hope in all of it. There's not a bit of faith in any of it. No faith. No faith. It's down the road. We can't have a move now. We're waiting for this big one to come. I thought grace was this big thing. Are we waiting for grace? You see, but the church believes we are. And many of the big name ministers, that's what they believe, because you keep kicking the ball down the road. You just keep kicking it further down. Every time you get near it, you give it another kick down the road. Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. Well, if it is like that, then wouldn't healing be the same way? Well, it's coming. It's coming. You know, one day. I've had people tell me, you know, I told the doctor one day I'm going to come in here and he's going to see me. One day I'm going to come in and see that. And you're going to say that. And I said, when are you going to receive it for yourself? You got to receive it for yourself. One day, because I'll tell you what, 20 years later, they'll be saying the same thing to the doctor. One day. What they're supposed to be doing, instead of telling people one day, they're supposed to be walking around saying this, I believe I've received my healing. That's what I believe of God. I believe I have it. And see, you know, I'll tell you one thing, if you believe you got it, I'll tell you, you'll be at rest and peace. You have to run around telling people one day, let's hope, one day, down the road, it'll show up one day. One day. One day it's going to come. One day we're going to have it. One day it's going to be out there. Well, see, you could do that with salvation. One day I'm going to get saved. One day I'm going to be born again. I remember Kenneth Hagin telling a story about a guy who ended up dying and going to hell. But he would always say, no, I'll get saved one day. I'll get saved one day, down the road. And he died. Never got saved. One day, so like the preacher, one day we're going to have a move of God. One day. You can have a move of God today. Amen. You can. You have God move for you today. You have great grace. Isn't something that sits somewhere in some closet someplace and every once in a while God opens the door and lets a little bit of it out. Grace is in the earth. It's whether we receive it. We look into the Word and see what the Word says and take that grace. Say, hey, that belongs to us. That grace belongs to me. It's mine. God gave it to me. What good is something given you can never have? Just leads to frustration. I believe there's a lot of people sort of strayed away from the Spirit-filled move of because of people always kicking everything down the road. I believe there's a lot of got tired of waiting around for something instead of in your own life, have a move of God. You don't have to wait for somebody else. You don't have to wait for a preacher to have a move of God. Have one for yourself. Believe and receive for yourself. Enjoy God for yourself. He's given it to you. It isn't some certain person. He's given him something. It's for you. Hallelujah. We respond by faith to the grace of God, which he's already done. In Titus the second chapter, 2:11. Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great and Savior, Jesus Christ." There's only one thing that God tells us to look forward, look to in hope. There's only one thing, and that's the coming of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. And the Bible's, the New Testament calls that the great hope. That's the great hope, is the fact, the return of Jesus Christ. Because we aren't told exactly a day or hour. You can't decide the day you want to receive that. We don't make Jesus come back. We live by grace. We're here. That's the only thing that's not told to us, the exact time. So see, that's a hope. Because I can't sit down and say, you know, Jesus will be here tomorrow and take the church. But you always get people try to predict that one. But it's always on the terms of hope. But I want you to see what about grace does. What does grace do? See, we talk about people want grace. It says, "For grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." And what does grace do? Teaching us. Grace teaches. It teaches this: denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. See, there's nobody coming along and saying, "Well, you know, the grace of God says God loves you so much you can live in any kind of sin you want, and God still loves you, and it's all right." Well, is that does grace teach that? No, we find here Titus said, "No, this is what grace teaches you. Grace teaches you to live right." So it's one thing is we can know this. See, I know as a minister, by understanding these things, my job to teach is I got to teach people to live right. See, we're not doing that today. We're teaching people how to get houses and lands and all kinds of stuff, but there's very little teaching on telling people to live right. That's what grace teaches. See, there's grace, and this is one thing, because what we do is a lot of people don't live right because they don't know about they've never been taught the grace to live right. They don't know how to do it. They don't know how to receive grace. They think, man, this is just a hard thing. I want to do right, but I just can't. I'm just having a hard time and everything. They don't know anything about grace to live right. They have no concept of it. It's not taught. Grace teaches us to live right. That's what it does. It's salvation. When a person gets born again, grace will teach an individual. That's one of the first things that came to me when I got born again, is God started dealing with me about my life and about the way I live, what I did. It wasn't that I could just go on and do what I did before, and teaches you to live right. Taught me about my family, how I conduct myself and what I did, what I had to do. And so grace teaches that. And grace teaches, here's one thing, grace is teaching about the return of Jesus Christ. There's many in the church world today, they believe that Jesus coming back for the church is just sort of a mystical thing. It's not really a true thing. Well, I'm sorry. Titus, this poor dumb guy, didn't understand. He believed that the Holy Spirit in grace teaches us Jesus is coming back. And we're supposed to be looking for it. They're not looking for it. I'm just telling you this. The people that aren't going to be looking for it aren't going. We need to understand this. That's why the church needs to get preaching today and right things. We have a Christianity that's a pretty weird thing. Grace is always, you know, grace has its effect on us in salvation from the past. Grace appeared to us. Grace teaches us present, and grace looks to the future. See, the Holy Spirit, what Jesus said, you know, the Holy Spirit teaches, he says, then he says he'll show you things to come. Grace is always past, present, and future. Shows you what God did, what God's doing, and what you're supposed to walk now, and in the future, what to do. Grace is always operating in those areas. And so that's why it's so important that we follow the teaching, let the Holy Spirit, the teacher, teach us, because, today people are, we have this focus today in our nation on the past. You know, and all these people are focused on what happened in the past and they want to correct things. You're never going to correct things just looking. If you only have a vision of one area, this is Christianity today. Christianity can't see past the present. They can't see past. You know, it's just like, you know, in a business. A business will tell you, a guy is not going to have a better business if he don't have a vision of the future. America has no vision for the future. It's always trying to fix the past. Do you know you can't fix the past? But always trying to, and that's why it's hopeless. It's just a hopeless, worthless thing. You know, I'm sorry. I mean, I can't fix the past. The people, the past and what it was done, that was their thing. What I do is where I live, and what I'm in today, it's where I'm looking to the future, because my tomorrows are set of looking ahead, not looking behind. I can look behind and say, hey, there was mistakes. I don't want to do that one again. But there must be a vision of the future. And people have to have that. They have to, you know, is number one, faith, it comes from the areas of without hope, there is no faith. And hope is a looking toward the future. That's what hope is. Hope has the expectation of something good coming. Faith is what grabs a hold of it and brings it to pass. And see, we're in a nation, you know, remember Obama used to talk about, oh, we got to give people hope. They stole that. His whole thing was to take hope out of people. That was his whole thing. And even today, the whole thing is to rob people of hope. You rob people of hope, there's nothing for the future. There's nothing to look forward to. What do we have to look forward to? There isn't anything good to look forward to. So those are the things that go on. I'm going to read this in closing. We're going to go over to staying in Titus in the third chapter. Titus said in the third chapter of Titus in verse 3, he says, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. I wonder who. Oh, I thought I was pretty nice. I don't think that was me. Must have been some of you guys he's writing to here. Where did these guys write from, you know? See, they don't fit in the American culture. This doesn't fit in the church culture of the America. Everybody's basically good. Everybody's basically nice. And that's those kind of things. He said, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration or renewing of the Holy Spirit. In other words, God came along saving us. In other words, our condition, the condition of humanity was verse 3. That was the condition of humanity. God came along in kindness and love. He appeared. He said, not by what? The works. Why? Because He couldn't have saved us by works. He just got done telling us what our works were. That was our works. So could God save me? God can save no man by His goodness. No one has a deed that was good could save him. He said, whom He poured out on us abundantly. This grace that He did, it was poured out abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. His salvation, this righteousness that He did, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. See, eternal life, that word eternal life there, that's the word eternal life, eternal Zoe, that's the word, the God kind of life. In other words, here He told us, we were justified by the grace or made righteous by the grace of God so we could become heirs of God's life. It's God's life. That's what eternal life is God's life. Every being, every spirit being lives forever. See, people say, oh, you know, eternal life means living forever. It never means that in the Bible, because every spiritual being, the lake of fire, everybody who's cast in the lake of fire is going to live forever in the lake of fire. They'll be in there forever. Every spirit being lives forever. There is none that don't. And so, what's he talking about? There are people who are going to live under the wrath of God forever, and there's going to be people who are going to live, who are heirs of God's life, who are going to live in God's life forever. This is what eternal life is like. Think about God and His creation, what the Bible tells us, just what heaven's like and things. That's the stuff, the outflow of God's life. His salvation that He gave by grace is the outflow of God's life. That's what it's going to be like living with God out of that kind of being. We're going to be living out of His kind of life. His kind of life, you know, people talk about going to heaven. There's no kind of sickness or anything there. But they look in the earth and like, well, we're just supposed to have it here. And we're supposed to, you know, you're just supposed to have everything bad here. You're supposed to have, that's not the way it is. That's not scripturally accurate. But man has set up a religion that they say they believe that. We've been seated in heavenly places in Christ. We've been made heirs of God in God's life. You have been given the grace of God's life, not the grace of your life. See, we have a choice. Many people, they try to think, here's one thing. If you think of healing and always looking at the natural level, you're not going to ever walk in the God life. You got to look at God's life. All these things, the things of grace, are things of the outflow of God's life. This eternal life, that's what it is. That's what grace is. Grace came out. In other words, you didn't do anything good to earn it. So you can't think on that level when you talk about grace, about my earning. Nobody earned everything that great. When God gave grace, Jesus was raised from the dead. And when He went into heaven and put His blood on the mercy seat of heaven, it made an eternal redemption. And grace, all grace that God had for man in the earth was given. Now, the church has this little bit of grace that they believe today, and that's just, well, you can get saved, but that's it. You're just sort of down here struggling. Well, that isn't what Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches this grace, this power of God to live in this life, this power to walk here. That's God's life. Grace is God's life to man. It's God's life. That's why when you were born again, you took on the nature of God. You don't have the nature of sin anymore. You couldn't. See, I've heard ministers say this, well, we're just old sinners. Well, if you're an old sinner, you're lost. You can't be an old sinner. An impossibility. There's no old sinners get to heaven. No new ones either. People with God's life. And see, that's what man is called to live out of the life that was given to them by God. Grace is all of God's ability given to man to live out in this earth. And we also read that God is going to show even greater grace, the riches of what He wants to show beyond when all this is over. But down here, this is the life of God. And so remember, you're living out of God's telling you to live out of His life. See, this is one of the things that I often thought about, because the Bible, when I first started off as a Christian, I had some problems in the areas, my mind from boozing and drugging and things and stuff, it didn't really work so great. But I remember listening to Kenneth Hagin and teaching that, and he talked about getting saved and about how taking on the mind of Christ. And I just remembered, you know, I saw in the scripture and says that I had the mind of Christ. And I used to sit and say this to myself, you know, Jesus can think well. If I have His mind, I can think good.
That's right.
I would never say, and I will to this day, never say a lot of things people say about themselves. I will never say it. Number one, I believe it's a sin to say it because it's a lie. When we talk ourselves down, well, I just can't this, and I'm having a hard time, and I can't think well, and I can't. What we're doing is saying, you know, Jesus, your mind ain't no good. Jesus, your mind don't really work, and I didn't get it. You know, I didn't get it. Maybe some. See, that was given by grace. I have the mind of Christ. And I started to say that. I started to say, you know, I can think good. I can do good. My mind works good. And I just started saying it. That's what came. Hey, I thought, Jesus, you know, you know, Jesus don't have these problems I got. His mind must think, His friend, if I got that, well, then I shouldn't have those problems that I have. I shouldn't have these things going on. So I started talking different. See, that's one of the things that has really helped me in the areas of comprehending spiritual things. Because I have a spiritual mind. Most people, all they got is their dumb brain, that thing between their ears. That's all they got. Because that's all they believe they got. They just believe what they have. And that's not, see, you can start to change. Put on what the Bible says you have. This is what you got, not what you're going to. See, grace gave it. Grace gave you the mind of Christ. That's what grace gave you. I remember thinking, boy, it don't seem like I have it. I said, the Bible says I have it. And if, I said, Jesus ain't having my problems. If I have his mind, well, then I have to be able to think good. I got to be able to do that. Well, it didn't spring forth in 2 seconds, but I'm going to tell you what, it showed up. I started putting things together and I started saying the right things, you know, and I found myself, I've never struggled to understand the Bible. Why? Because I have a spiritual mind. That's what I got. See, I don't try to learn by my physical brain. My inner man is like Christ. My inner man is like God, and he has a mind. The Bible says he does. If you're only operating through the physical, you're so limited. It's why people have a hard time. They're trying to comprehend the Bible through the natural mental. My natural mental can't understand a lot of things. It can't. But I'll tell you what, my inner man can. On the inside, he sees things and he knows things. He's seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, is looking, getting yourself over it, thinking like that. Because if you don't, you know, so many people have inferiority. And I'll tell you what, that drove inferiority out of me. I thought, my God, I can think like Jesus. I am not inferior to anybody. Jesus gave me the ability to think like he thinks. Whoa. And I'll tell you, like, I needed to see some people there, they think they're just geniuses. They don't know it. But I'm going to tell you what, to understand the things of God, you need the mind of God. Because God don't think like natural man. There's things to comprehend and understand. And I just encourage you to take advantage of that. Having been justified by grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. Huh. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. We're supposed to constantly be saying these things and doing these things. And that's been a great lacking in the church world today. We're not talking about these things yet. That says we're supposed to be constantly doing this. And they're constantly doing a lot of other things. I'm always grateful for the fact of things that God told me when I was a young Christian growing up and realizing, you know, God gave me a life that should change the life I live. This changes this life that I had, this way that I lived. And it was a change. And I always think about the fact that, you know, when Wanda said, you know, I'm living with a different man. There's many people today who claim Christianity and they live worse than I did when I was a sinner. They have no love for other people. They have no care, concern about anybody. If anybody that ain't going to walk in love, they're going to be the top of the list. Self-centered, selfish. They don't get involved in the things of God or God's people. They have nothing to do with walking around using the term Christian. Christianity is a life, man. It ain't just some kind of teaching. It's a life. And hallelujah. As John wrote in 1 John, he said, if you don't love your brother, you don't have eternal life in you. Woo! Well, praise God. Let's close with that. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight. Father, your word does stirs us up. Father, you're not against us. You're for us. And I want to thank you that your word is working mighty. It's changing our lives. It's molding and making us into the glory that your grace designed for us before the foundation of the world. And I just want to thank you, Father God. It's a working in us. It's working. Hallelujah. Father God, in this world, things are crazy. But Lord God, I want to thank you. We're in this world, but we're not of it. Hallelujah. And your grace is greater than everything that this world throws out, and it does. Father God, your grace sees us through in every situation. Your grace is working mightily. Father, I want to thank you that the Holy Spirit's working in each one of us, bringing clarity, Lord God, understanding, comprehension of what's going on, what to do, how to walk, hallelujah, how to live in this life, Lord God, to be a blessing that Jesus Christ is glorified and magnified. Lord God, because the bottom line is Jesus is coming back, and when he comes back, things close down. And Father God, we want heaven full of people, hallelujah. And we just want to thank you, Father God, for all that you're accomplishing in us and through us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.